Our Torah portion this week is Vayetzah, which are the first few words, which in English read, "And Jacob departed," but in the Hebrew it says, "And departed Yaakov." This is the meaning, and it's in Genesis 28, 10 through 32, 3. Let's go. No? There we go. The Torah portion covers about these six areas. Jacob departs for Haran, which I think is alluding to Iran, but it's not terribly specifically clear. Haran is a city up in that area. He meets Rachel and goes to work for Laban. He marries Leah and Rachel. He has 12 children. He becomes wealthy, primarily in sheep. And he leaves Laban to head back home. The Torah portion covers 21 years of his life. And I want to look particularly at Genesis 28, 12 through, I think it's about 22. And I'm going to go ahead and take the time to read this section. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 10. "And Yaakov went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came upon a place and stopped over for the night, for the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed and saw a ladder set up on the earth. And its top reached to the heavens, and saw messengers of Elohim going up and coming down on it. And see, Yahweh stood above it and said, 'I am Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, your father, and the Elohim of Yitzhak. The land on which you are lying, I give it to you and your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall break forth to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the clans of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your seed. And see, I am with you, and I shall guard you wherever you go, and shall bring you back to this land, for I am not going to leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you.' And Yaakov awoke from his sleep and said, 'Truly Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid," or with awe, "and said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of the heavens.' And Yaakov rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set up as a standing column or a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. However, the name of that city had been Luz previously. And Yaakov made a vow, saying, 'Seeing Elohim is with me and has kept me in this way that I am going, and has given me bread to eat and a garment to put on, when I have returned to my father's house in peace and Yahweh has been my Elohim, then this stone which I have set as a standing column shall be Elohim's house. And of all that you give me, I shall certainly give a tenth to you.'" When I look at this, one thing that particularly puzzled me was Genesis 28, 12. "And he dreamed and saw a ladder set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heavens. And he saw messengers of Elohim going up and coming down on it." And if you take a minute and try to imagine that, well, I would imagine you probably picture a ladder going up to the heavens, and somehow Yahweh standing at the top of it. He probably has pretty good balance. Angels descending and ascending on it. Well, a ladder is usually for one individual, so I guess they have to kind of stand out aside from each other and let each other pass through, and it's plural, so there's a lot of them. This is a pretty active ladder. And this is apparently the gate to the heavens, according to this verse, a portal, an entrance to the heavens. I kind of don't really think a ladder fits, and it puzzled me to the point of looking at that particular word in the Hebrew, sulam, and it's a noun, and everything that's written about it is ladder. That's it, ladder. But there's a root. Ooh, it's from a root. And that root, according to Strong's Concordance, salel, is it's a verb which means to lift up, to cast up, to exalt, to cast up a highway. Well, that doesn't sound like a ladder, and that sounds like a little bit more room for back and forth. To cast up a way, to exalt, esteem highly, to prize. So a noun from that verb would be a exalter, a highwayer, or something of that sort. Look a little further. Gesenius's lexicon. Here it says it's to lift up, to elevate, to exalt, to gather or cast up into a heap. Ah, to make a level way by casting up a bank or to embank. Well, that's probably going to be something a little more stable than a noun that does this than a teetering ladder. When I look at the Hebrew Names version, it says he dreamed. Behold, a stairway was set up on the aretz, or earth in Hebrew, and the top of it reached to the heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Set up, by the way, means erected, set as a foundation, established, built. Well, that's definitely more permanent sounding than a ladder. Set upright. A ladder usually is something that leans on something else, but a staircase makes more sense. Given the lack of English translations and things that we have, I'm starting to maybe understand that stairway might be a little bit more of an entrance to the heavens. But wait, back in this era, is it possible that Jacob saw a ziggurat? Ziggurats are structured or built in the ancient Mesopotamian Valley. Mesopotamian Valley is around this area, particularly up above where we know of Israel, but extending into the western plain of Iran, having a form of a terraced stories or levels with stairs to climb up to the higher level. It's built on a raised area, exalted, lifted up. It's appeared to have served as temples to the ancient gods of Mesopotamia, homes of the ancient gods, believed to have been connections, a way between the heavens and the earth, and they would have stairs wide enough for multiple messengers to be ascending, descending, a place at the top for Yahweh to stand, and set up, built, established on the earth reaching to heaven. Now, I'm not sure this says this exactly, but I'm wondering. This is an exploration. A ziggurat would make a lot of sense, especially because it was from his time, it was from that area. These across the bottom, this one is from Ur of Chaldea. It stands today. You can go see it. These were from about his era, about 4,000 before the Common Era. That one over there is in Egypt. The Egyptians. So they would have been aware of these. They would have thought of these. And this is, remember, Jacob now is long before Moshe, the giving of the Torah at Sinai. Although there was obviously God interacting, Yahweh interacting with people, this was probably something he would have thought of as a temple until they knew better. Let's look a little further. In verse 17, it says that he was afraid or filled with awe and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of the heavens." And he called the name of that place Bethel, house of El. And however, the name of that city had been Luz previously. Luz means almond tree, by the way. "Then this stone, which I have set as a standing column, shall be Elohim's house. And of all that you give me, I shall certainly give a tenth to you." House and temple are interchangeable. And Yahweh's temple, by the way, when he gave instructions for it, was to be elevated, lifted up with stairs, seven steps. Also, the gate of the heavens is another description. A gate is an entrance to a city or kingdom often. It's where the authorities of a city presided. It's where legal judgment takes place. It's where visitors are allowed or denied. And it's where the authority of the kingdom usually is. What about angels ascending and descending? What could that mean? I look, where else do we see angels ascending and descending? And I go to John 1:45. This is worth turning to. John 1:45. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moshe wrote in the Torah and the prophets, Yahshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Is it possible for any good matter to come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Yahshua saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Truly, a Yisraelite in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "From where do you know me?" And Yeshua answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the son of Elohim. You are the sovereign of Israel." Yeshua answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Greater than that you shall see." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, from now on you shall see the heaven opened and the messengers of Elohim ascending and descending upon the son of Adam." First of all, Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the son of Elohim. You are the king of Israel." He had had some sort of revelation from Yahweh. What was he studying, I wonder, under the fig tree? "Truly I say to you, from now on you shall see the heaven opened and the messengers of Elohim ascending and descending upon the son of Adam." Yeshua defined himself to Nathanael as Jacob's ladder, or the house or temple of Yahweh that was set up on the earth. John 19:21, he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I shall raise it." And then the Yodim said, "It took 46 years to build this. You're going to just raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. As for a gate, an entrance to the heavens, a connection between heaven and earth, in John 14:6, Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he was speaking of himself as the Word, Torah. The Aramaic Peshitta says that the messengers were ascending and descending. In this verse about Nathanael, he says, the messengers were ascending and descending to the Son of Adam, denoting authority over the angels, a gate coming and going to him. He's the king of Israel, but also of the heavens and the earth. Basically, the angels go from and come to, they serve him and obey him. In Matthew 16, Shimon Kepha answered and said, "You are the Messiah, the son of Elohim." There's a thread here. He had some sort of revelation from Yahweh and knew that this was the son. And answering, Yahshua said to him, "Blessed are you, Shimon Bar-Yonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Nobody told you this, but my Father in the heavens. "And I also say to you that you are rock, and on this rock I shall build my assembly, and the gates of the grave shall not overcome it." Death will not overcome it. The authority, the gates of death and Sheol will not overcome it. Jacob had a revelation from Yahweh with a promise about this seed, the house or temple of Yahweh set up on the earth, and the gate or authority of the heavens, and he made a vow to tithe. He had a revelation, and it caused him to enter into a vow, a promise, a commitment, a covenant. Nathanael had some sort of revelation from Yahweh and recognized Yahshua as the son of Elohim, that's a thread, and the promised king of Israel, the authority, studying Jacob, probably, and he, too, followed Yahshua. Yahshua revealed himself as Jacob's ladder, the house or temple of Yahweh, set up on the earth, reaching to the heavens, with Yahweh standing at the top over him. He is under and obeying, subject to Yahweh. And Peter had a revelation from Yahweh and recognized that Yahshua was the son of Elohim and Messiah, the anointed one, the king. And most of us here have had some sort of a revelation from Yahweh as to the Son. We know the way between heaven and earth, the Son of Elohim, the Word, which the gates of death will not prevail over. And like Jacob's vow to tithe, Nathanael and Peter's commitment to follow Yahshua, we too have, for the most part, come into the covenant. And this is the rock, Yeshua said, that he is building his assembly on, his body, the temple of his house, where he dwells. That rock being direct revelation from Yahweh. We're not told that he is the Son. Nobody told us, but we in some way came to the knowledge of this. And how can we have that revelation? How can we know for sure if we haven't? John 14, 21. He who possesses my commands and guards them or keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I shall love him and manifest myself to him. Yehuda, not the one from Kirioth, said to him, Master, what has come about that you are about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And he said, if anyone loves me, he shall guard my word, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come and make our stay with him. Sounds a lot like the promise to Jacob. If we keep the commands of Torah, we will eventually trust in him. He'll lead us through that. We'll learn to live according to his word. We'll learn his word. We're told to keep it in our heart. And we'll see the heavens open and the revealed Son of Elohim, the King. Baruch Hashem.